podcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program today. And let's start today off with a kiss, okay? Hit November goodbye. Today is the last day, and December is upon us. And that means you've just got a few more weeks until Christmas Day to get all of your Christmas shopping in and all of your Christmas parties and all of your Christmas meals and all of the new clothes that you're going to need to fit into because of all the eating that you do. And so I pray that you enjoy today. It's I always enjoy November. I love Thanksgiving. I enjoy the holidays a lot more now than I did when I was working in retail, because of all of the extended hours and grumpy people that you met. So please don't be one of those grumpy people as you are out and about in the community. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Area code 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. And, you know, with the cool weather that we've had this last week, maybe our heater didn't work. And let me just pause to say this. Please be careful if you do not have central heat in your house and you use a space heater. Please be very, very careful. This is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, because I had childhood friends that I went to school with that, because of a house fire, they weren't able to get out. They were my age. And so, please be careful. If you have a space heater, make sure you put redundant safety measures in place. I've been there. There have been times when we have heated our house with space heaters in the past. And I'm telling you, I made sure that it was not on anything flammable. That it was surrounded by things that weren't flammable, that there was nothing else going on with the socket. So I just want to encourage you, please be careful if you're utilizing a space heater, and definitely do not use a propane or a gas powered heater inside the house. That leads to carbon monoxide poisoning. And you don't want to use an exterior cooling system or a heating system indoors. That is just not good. Actually, one year in Oklahoma, we saw a restaurant that was using exterior heaters inside. And I'm thinking, this cannot be good. And it wasn't. Anyway, back to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They came out. They did some electric work for us at Merit Assembly of God. And things are up and running and doing absolutely wonderful. And so if you need someone to come out and look at your heater, or maybe you've discovered some electric work. One of the things that I've noticed is that sometimes outlets go bad because of the way people pull things in and out of the socket. And then the next thing you know, it doesn't make connection good and your devices won't work. Have something like that. You might have a light fixture that is not working. I don't turn a blind eye to electrical issues. I encourage you to call an electrician, get them out there to take care of it. The folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they are really, really good at what they do. 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. So today we're going to talk again about the will of God. We are going through the Sermon on the Mount. We got to the Lord's Prayer. We are now to the part of the Lord's Prayer: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6 today. Ephesians chapter 6. And in a modern term, this is going to talk about employee and employer relationships. And in the context that it's written here, these would have been addressed to people who were in bondage. They were servants, indentured servants. Most of the time that had to do with financial hardship, and the only way that they could pay their debt was to work it off. Verse number 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. So let me talk about the employer situation first. It's mentioned last, but let me talk about it because it addresses something that is very prevalent in modern society. I know that companies that I worked for, they use this with quotas and things like that. And that is, you do not want to create an environment, a work environment, where the employees feel threatened, where there's no confidence that their job is going to be there anytime soon. You don't want to create that environment where it says, if you don't do this right now, you're not measuring up. I used to work for a retailer, and the dates of their sale moved every year. And so the way that worked was, when you were coming up on your sales quota and you were competing with their biggest sale of the year, well, they left those numbers on the books that you had to compete with the sale numbers from the previous year. But when the new sale came, they didn't just cause you to look at the quotas that you had last year. They changed those to what they were projecting for you to do this year. And so every year you competed against the biggest sale of the year. You had to compete against that twice. And they literally told their people, said, look, we're going to pay you well, but if you don't meet your quota, you are out the door. And I had an employee that worked for me when I had to communicate the message. I was just the middleman. And finally this lady said this, and I appreciate it. It's like, Bob, I have done this for 20 some years, and I do it because it is the way that I make my paycheck. And if they don't like it, they can fire me. And what that person did is they broke the power of intimidation in their life. And I can remember working for a person that the general manager was like that. The way that he ruled that company was through threats and intimidation. And the way that power was broken in my life was when God said, you know what? If you lose this job, do you have faith that I can provide for you a better job? And the truth of the matter was that once I had that revelation, that spirit of fear was broken in my life. So I like to create an empowering environment, not a threatening environment. I believe that's a biblical approach to do that. So if you're out there and you have people that work for you, create an environment where they know that you, if they take care of your customers, that you are going to take care of them. That's just a little bit of business from the word advice there. Now let's look back at chapter 6 and see what the employee's relationship is. And because, you know, a lot of people want to complain about the other guy without addressing the problems that they might have going on in their own heart. This is something that my wife does. This is something that I've done. And so it says, bondservants, I'm going to put the word employees there, be obedient to those who are over you according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. I could put this verse in very simplistic terms, it is this: when you go to work, do your job as if Jesus Christ is your boss. You've got to realize that that's not a step into greater convenience. That has just elevated the standard, because Jesus knows what's going on inside of us. He knows if we are giving our best. He knows if we're not giving our best. He is aware of everything that we do, whether we are ministering in excellence or whether we are not. And so he says, look, don't do your job with fear and trembling, but do it with sincerity of heart. That word sincere means without wax. So many times if there was a blemish, if there was a crack in pottery, they would fill it up with wax and it might look okay, but it was actually evidence that there was a flaw in the vessel. And so when we're talking about sincerity of heart, we're talking about have your whole heart into it. So don't be there and looking, you know, don't be at your one job looking for your next job. Don't be involved there. And so there was a time where I was needing to look for another job. The person was firing me was what was happening. And he's like, well, how come you haven't found a job? I said, look, I'm still doing my job here. And he said, well, you know, let me help you. Your job is to find a new job. And it's like, oh, okay. I was in my 20s at the time. But my approach is I want to give my best. I wanted to give my best at every job that I did. I read a marketing book one time, and the guy who ran this marketing company talked about his job as a custodian. He cleaned toilets. And he said, so I went and I approached that as a ministry so that I would do it with excellence. He said, I just didn't want to go in there and wipe things down and all that. I wanted to make sure that when I left a bathroom stall that I had seen everything that could be seen, cleaned everything that needed to be cleansed, and I was going to leave that situation in a pristine environment. And the Bible talks about that if you see a guy that is serving with excellence at a level that they're not going to stay at that position. They're going to be elevated. They're going to minister to kings is what it says. And this guy ends up being the CEO of a marketing company because what he did with excellence. You don't have to wait till your next job. And in fact, there's a mindset that says, look, they don't pay me enough to do X, Y, and Z. I want you to know that is the wrong mindset. A lot of times employees will say, well, I'm going to help myself to this because they don't pay me as much as I think they should pay me. Now their compensation may not be to scale. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But that's not your position. That's not your responsibility. I had a person one time that I heard say, this was a secular job. Well, even though I could help them do their business better, until I get the promotion, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, that's the wrong mindset. The mindset is be as big a blessing as you could possibly be. And, another incident was like, well, you just don't pay me enough to do anymore. And I want you to understand that the voice you're hearing on the radio here has moved across the country for a job that paid $86 a week bring home, moved across the country for $100 a week, moved his family to another state for $125 a week, moved to another situation and lost money in the situation. The income went down. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, it was for no money, none. And if I had the mindset, well, I'm only going to minister as well as they can pay me, then I never would have preached the first sermon. I wouldn't have unlocked the door. I wouldn't have mowed the grass or any of that sort of stuff. But it is not about what sort of compensation is in it for me. I want to minister with sincerity of heart unto Jesus. And it says, verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. A lot of people have the mindset, well, nobody told me to do this. You know, I can't get in trouble. Nobody told me to do that. And I want you to understand that leadership is not having to have someone telling you to do something. You do it because there is a need in front of you and it needs to be done. Even if it's not in your job title, even if it's not in your portfolio, it might be something that is well beneath you. And, you know, a lot of times there's a saying, well, that's above your pay grade. You know, in church, a lot of times you will see that people will say, well, that's beneath my pay grade. I want you to understand there isn't anything beneath the pay grade. You and I are called to be servants. We're supposed to be servants. And and Paul writes to the Ephesians here and he says, you know, what really needs to take place is when you do the will of God from your heart. The Old Testament talks about God wanting to take people who were obeying because of the dictates that were written on paper, the commandments that were written on paper. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And you're going to have a heart to do the will of God. You're going to obey because it's in your heart to do so. I want to ask you, when Sunday's just a couple of days away, what's in your heart? Are you going to church because you have to, or are you going because God has transformed your heart? Now, let me say this. If it's not written on your heart to do so, go anyway. Go anyway. If I'd waited to eat broccoli until I liked broccoli, I might not still eat broccoli. I happen to like broccoli. I love vegetables. But you don't say, well, my heart's not in it, and so I'm just not going to not do it until my heart gets there. Well, guess what? You're supposed to guard your heart. You're supposed to let your spirit speak to your heart, and so what happens here is Paul is writing to the bondservants, he's writing to the employees, and he's saying, look, don't just do your job because you have to. Do it because you want to. And there's an old saying, you know, if you find something that you hearts into and you're doing it, you will find that it loses the label of work and it falls into the line of passion. A lot of people only do what they think that other people are going to notice. And you and I need to realize that we need to be doing the will of God from the heart. There, the will of God is not an act. It is not an event. It is a process of doing. It is a process of obedience. It is embracing what God's will is and saying, you know what? I'm not just going to understand it. I am going to act upon what God wants me to do. Verse number 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And so we take a bad situation and we adjust our attitude towards it. And we take the human element out and we say, you know what? If God has chosen for me to be in this place at this time for this ministry, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do it well. And I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. And that will really change your mindset. I will tell you this. You are always going to have employee and employer challenges. How you deal with those is up to you. But as for me, I have always chosen that during those difficult times, say, you know what? If I'm not getting the appreciation that I think I deserve from the person that should be giving it to me, I am confident of this. God is not going to neglect to make sure that my needs are met and that I'm compensated accordingly. And I can tell you, if you will adopt that mindset, don't be in it just for the paycheck. Say, you know what? I'm going to do this unto God. I'm not going to do it under the paycheck. I'm going to do it to God. It really will help you. My goal when I was an employee was always to make sure that I was the most valuable employee that the company had. And by that, I mean that I gave them more than what they were compensating me for. I wanted to give them my very best. When I managed a retail shoe store, and I had a great distinction, every shoe store that I ever managed went out of business, but they went out of business on a corporate level. So one year, it was the company that brought me to Florida, found out that in a few weeks we were going to be going out of business, and that as stores became less and less profitable, they were going to be closing those first. And so what I challenged my team was, what we want to do is we want to be the last store that is closed. We want to do our job so well that this is the last store that they close. And we were. We had to revolutionize everything that we did. We only had a handful of employees, but I'm telling you, we did things so well that they would take inventory out of other stores. They would bring it to us, and we would liquidate it. We sold it, and we closed on the very last day that the company was in business, because we said, you know what? All of us are going to make money. Let's do it, and let's do it with excellence. Verse number 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Here is the great revelation from this passage of Scripture, is that even when you are in a difficult circumstance, when you say, I'm going to take the flawed human element out of it, and I'm going to do my job as unto the Lord, I am going to serve with everything that I have. I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. I'm going to minister. I'm going to do it from the heart. I'm going to be sincere about it. I'm going to be fully invested in this process. I'm not going to be bad-mouthing the boss. I'm not going to be undermining the company. I'm not going to be looking for self-compensation. I'm going to be looking to be the biggest blessing that I can be. I'm going to look to represent Jesus well. God will be looking out to make sure that you are taken care of, and that you are compensated, and that you are rewarded. And God, it will be a debtor to no man. When you represent him well, I'm here to tell you that he will elevate you. Just like that guy who was cleaning church toilets. And he said, this is a ministry, and I want to do it well. I tell people a lot of times about Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was actually out plowing the field. It was a pretty big enterprise. I believe his was the 12th pair of oxen. And so there were 11 other teams that were out there when Elijah showed up and anointed him to be his successor. Elijah did that at command of the Lord. So there was something that was taking place while Elijah was plowing fields that had caught the attention of God. And when Elijah was depressed, God said, I want you to go and anoint Elisha, and he's going to be your successor. And Elisha said, look, I am all in on this process. Elijah literally said, what have I done to you? I just came, I poured some anointing oil on your head. I let you know that God was going to use you in the future. And Elisha said, oh no, wherever you go, that's where I'm going to go. Elisha never failed him. Even when everybody knew that the end was up, he said, look, I'm supposed to be his disciple. I'm supposed to learn from him, and I'm going to be with him till the very end. And I ask people this. Do you know what Elisha's responsibilities were before he was going to be the prophet that spoke to kings? And the reality of this is that Elisha had a servant who described him as the man who used to pour water over Elijah's hands. He was a hand washer. It didn't always start off to be a glamorous ministry, but he was a man who ended up with a double anointing of Elijah's spirit, a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And it all started while he was in the field. It got God's attention, and God called him to be Elijah's student. Elisha had the responsibility of pouring water over Elijah's hands. He was then rewarded with a mantle, with Elijah's mantle, and he spoke to kings. God took care of him, and he will take care of you. Don't look at your present circumstances and say, you know what, this is a dead end. Because with God, there are no such things as dead ends. God can take a very difficult situation, and he can cause you to be elevated. He will use you. Today, whatever your responsibility, do it unto the Lord. Do it with sincerity of heart. Do it with your whole heart. Do it as unto the Lord, and watch as God opens windows of opportunity, doors of opportunity, so that you can represent him well, both here and before kings, whenever that time comes. See you next
time.
Thank you
for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To have